Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website, CoverThatSpread.com, is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses, and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread. And I will be flying solo today because my co-host, the Catracho, thinks that he is a European soccer player and gets to just take off for all these international friendly competitions. So I do have some soccer stuff from him that I would like to get to. We've got a lot of NFL stuff that we need to get to. We have a lot of college football stuff that we need to get to. And I use the term stuff lightly, so, just play along. But let's lead off with the big news this week. And for those of you sports bettors, for those of you who wager online, who wager in Vegas, who are always worried about Big Brother watching, if it comes to making deposits outside of the U.S., if it comes to making withdrawals and depositing non-U.S. funds or whatever, however the hell it works. This was the biggest news that we've had in a while. And it shows that the NFL can try to explain how these daily fantasy leagues have nothing to do with gambling, that they're games of skill. They can try to claim all of this, but they're lying. They are absolutely lying. And I've got to admit, let me just put this disclaimer out there too. I play some daily fantasy here and there. I dabble. For those of you who have listened to the show that Troy and I do, although I've not been on there in a few weeks, completely unrelated, but we do a show called The Fantasy Freeway right here on the Red Light Sports Network. And, you know, it's just a part of us. It's a part of fandom. It is a part of, it's really becoming a part of the United States culture is to play fantasy sports. That said, this in no way is not gambling. And in the wake of what happened, let me try to sum it up for you guys. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to fully give this justice or not. So let's just start with the facts. On Sunday, one of the employees from DraftKings took the most people played. So basically he took all the players, he reviewed the stats of what other users, how they were creating their rosters. He took the top percentages. He went to the other website, FanDuel, and created a lineup using those numbers and statistics, which doesn't sound like that big of a deal. However, they don't release those numbers to the public until after the week or after the lineups are locked. So in the securities industry, we call this insider trading. That's a federal felony. If you've ever heard of Martha Stewart, you would know she went to jail for it. There have been thousands of other people who have gone to jail for it. Insider trading is a serious offense, and it should be treated like one, and this needs to be treated like one. because it's what essentially it is you're taking information that is not public information and you're profiting by it. Now, to put this into context, let's say you take $20, which was the cost, or $25, whichever it is on FanDuel, to join the Million Dollar Maker, or whatever the hell they call theirs, big weekly contest. Let's say you take $20 and you invest it in the stock market and you know some information, so you buy something low and by the end of the day it increases and you sell. And let's say you even double your money. Let's say you buy some penny stock and you double your money on insider information. Is that illegal? Yes, because you used insider information. However, this is why I think that in this case, this person needs to be punished more than a typical insider trader. If you invest $20 in the stock market and you double your money in a day and you cash out because of information that you had that nobody else had, the entire market doesn't matter. They won't notice. Probably you'll even go under the radar of the SEC. Not telling you to do that, just saying in general, if it's that small, most likely you're going to be under the radar. This person turned $20 or $25 into $350,000. And by doing so, he's technically defrauding the 100,000 or so people that signed up for this contest. That's the big difference. When you make trades on a market or on an exchange and you have insider trading information, typically no one else is really that much affected by it. Yes, you may sell high and then someone else take some losses. You may sell buy low and someone takes some losses somewhere. There's definitely, you know, I'm not saying that it won't happen in the market, but you're talking about a lot of people being affected and directly losing $25 because of this one guy. Now, I don't know the numbers. I don't know how close everyone else was. I don't know how close he was. But let's think about this in a realistic way. If you take all of the players that are the highest drafted guys and you put that into a lineup, what you have essentially done is you've kind of limited how high your team can place, but you put on a very low floor, because the guy that is $3,000 or the cheapest guy that's out there at a position who scores a touchdown, puts up 80 yards, and is that quote-unquote sleeper guy of the week, the chance of picking him right are like one in a million or thousand, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But what happens is when you put this type of lineup together, you're protecting yourself against losses because the majority of the rest of that contest probably has them in their lineup. So if that guy flops, everybody loses, but by everybody losing, nobody loses because it's just kind of like dead money. So if you do that enough times and you protect yourself against big losses, those one or two guys that do come out and play and outperform, those teams that have those guys probably don't have the other guys. So this is a real big deal. And for people that don't understand it, you need to try to wrap your head around how this would be handled if this was trades that were placed on the New York Stock Exchange. Very important for you to understand some context of how this is. Now, from a gambling perspective, from a gambler's perspective, somebody who has to use offshore gambling sites. When I first found out about DraftKings and FanDuel, I remember thinking to myself, that's gambling. How are they advertising on the radio and eventually on television? Had no idea how they did it. Did not stop me from going to a website immediately and signing up because I thought this is great. This could be my way of eventually finding something that is completely legal and completely accepted in this country. But this just shows that not only is regulation needed, there is a lot of oversight that is needed. When you sign up for a account with a SEC-regulated organization, you have to answer several questions. One of them being, you are attesting to, are you or have you ever been employed or do you have a relationship or a relative of some, are you related to or do you have a relationship with somebody who is employed by an SEC firm? And if you answer that incorrectly and then it is found out that you traded inside and you profited because of information that you were given, everyone's going to jail. And that is the same type of regulation that needs to be placed in this market, because if you have information because your buddy works for FanDuel and he says, hey, I can't make these plays anymore because now they have this regulated, will you go on to DraftKings or go on to one of these other sites and let's split the profits? Most people aren't going to say no to that. So this needs to become much more regulated. We also need to have a serious conversation in this country about, is this gambling or not? Because when you look at it, when you look at the difference between this and with just regular sports betting, where you put money on one side and you say yes or no, they're going to win. The way I like to think about it is, because they're both gambling, let's not kid ourselves, okay? This is not up for debate. This is gambling. Think about going and playing, sitting down at a casino and playing blackjack. It is you against the dealer. You pick, they pick. Or in this case, you pick and then you pray to God that they don't beat you. That is sports gambling. You sit there, it's you against the casino, and you take what you can get. DraftKings and Daily Fantasy is basically playing poker, which last time I checked, people who play for poker for money, that is considered gambling. If you are playing poker and there are wagers being made on each hand, that is called gambling. That's what Daily Fantasy is. And not that there's anything bad with that, but we need to stop kidding ourselves that that is a game of skill where the other sports betting is gambling, because that is not true. They are one and the same. They may get there differently, just like there are different table games you could play at a casino, but it doesn't mean that just because one includes dice and one includes cards, that one is gambling and one's a game of skill. So we're going to have to table this conversation because I am really wound up about it. I could go on for a long time, but let's keep this conversation going, because we're going to see, as regulations come in here, this could be good for online gambling, for online sports wagering, for legalizing wagering. We could take care of a lot of state shortcomings financially if we would go ahead and just legalize gambling across the board, let every state handle it how they want to, let every state do their regulations. And we would see a lot more, or a lot less hypocrisy of being able to say, well, this is gambling and this is not gambling. Because if we treat everything all in the same and we regulate it, we will be in a much better place where we can have Congress arguing about real issues, not having daily fantasy sports hearings. Because I'll be honest, that is a waste of their damn time. All right, so that is over. I've got some plays for you guys. Catracho sent me over. He is really liking this U.S.-Mexico tilt, which is going to decide who goes to the Confederations Cup in 2017. So he does not have it fully capped yet. He did tell me, though, he will be sending it out to everyone on Twitter. So if you're not following him, make sure you do. At the Catracho, TheCatracho. Oh, and you know what? I just had to look down a little further. He does like USA plus 135. That game is on Saturday night. I'm not sure if that is his official play or if that's just the way he's leaning right now. He did not specify. So be sure to follow him on Twitter. That'll be the best way to get that play once he has it ready to go. Again, that is the Catracho, at TheCatracho. Now on to the NFL. We had a good weekend in the NFL, two weekends in a row now, so I am feeling a lot better where we are at and where our numbers are at. We are working our way up the ladder. In the Westgate Super Contest, the Big Vegas Contest, we went 4-1. We hit on Green Bay -8, Atlanta -6, Carolina -3. We missed Arizona -7, and we hit New Orleans -3. So that was a 4-1 weekend. That puts us up to 14-6 on the year. We are tied for 86th place out of 1750, I believe, was around the final number. It's about 1,750 entries. We are in the top 100 right now. Feel good about that after 4 weeks. Got a lot of work to do to get into the money, but we are in a good position right now. In the World Series of Handicapping, I made a mistake. I put in the wrong side because, as you can see, I took Arizona -7 in the Super Contest. In the World Series of Handicapping, I accidentally took St. Louis +6.5. So it was very possible that I was going to get screwed on both of these and could have gone 0-1-1 if Arizona won by 7. That didn't happen, so I split them. I benefited in the World Series of Handicapping by my own mistake. I went 6-1. The only game that I missed was Seattle -9.5. And that one, I was really upset with the amount of fumbling and the amount of just running around that Russell Wilson was doing. I get it. He does not have a great offensive line, but there's a point where the offense has to be better, where better coached, better managed. And at some point we've got to see Jimmy Graham line up in a standing stance. We cannot see him on the line as much as he is. Otherwise, it's just going to be a very big waste of draft picks and money that Seattle has invested in him. So really, really not happy with what we've seen out of Seattle's offense so far this year. That did cost me a little bit. If the Seahawks would have won, I would be in second place right now. Since they lost, I'm in third place overall. I still won the week, but instead of winning the week and being 7-0, I tied for first with a 6-1 record. Since me and the other guy both had we both lost our two unit play that week. So this week, not entirely happy, but I am happy we got the win. Back to back weeks, we've won now the World Series of Handicapping. Very good contest to be in. If you guys want to join, it is a free contest. There's a weekly winner. There is an overall champion at the end. So there's a lot of fun to it and a lot of competition, because even if you're out of it early, you can still win every week. You can win prizes. So worldseriesofhandicapping.com. Make sure you guys get on there and sign up for it if you have not already. So in the NFL this week, let's finish off last week first. We had some really good plays out there, and we kind of got, I don't want to say screwed, but, you know, we definitely lost out a little bit because of that Arizona game. We were very big on that one. What we learned from that, and I think what a lot of people are learning from that, is that the St. Louis Rams really only care about playing teams in their own division. And I know that that's a real bad statement to make, a real uneducated statement to make. But when you look at the way that they played against the Rams, and when you look – or I'm sorry, against the Redskins in week two, you look at how they played at home against Seattle and at Arizona here, this is a much different team when they're playing other teams in their division. They may be one of the better teams in the NFC. Personally, I don't think so, but – they need to be a lot better outside of their division if they're going to go anywhere, because you can go 6-0 in your division, but if you don't win any other games, 6-10 is not going to get you into the playoffs. So We've got overall last week we went 9-3 plus 11.33 units. For the season, that puts us up to 31-23. We are plus 12.11 units. And let me pull up Capper Tech real quick. I just want to get a little bit better idea of where we've been the last 2 weeks, because the last 2 weeks we have made up a lot of ground after a slow 2 weeks to start off the season. So right now we are at 20-6. That's a winning percentage of 77%. We are plus 30.87 units, and our return on investment is plus 42.29%. I would say that's pretty damn good for where we were a couple of weeks ago. So I'm liking this. I'm feeling a lot more confident about our numbers, feeling a lot more confident about where we're at in the NFL right now. So we've been toying around with a couple of ideas, but we are going to implement it this week now that we've seen a couple weeks where we would have done really well. Typically, our unit plays are between 1-5. We toyed around with an idea during baseball, didn't like it, so we went back to going 1-5. Right now, where we're at in the NFL, we are going to be jumping our units because we feel like we can make less plays and have a better winning percentage and be more profitable. So we're going to go with a 6-10 unit range going forward. So it's going to be a little bit of a difference. It in general, in an ideal setting, it's going to double our units. So if you look at the last 2 weeks, 20-6 would have netted us roughly 61 units. So 61 units, if we look at the leaderboard, and again, this is all on CapperTech.com. They are the sports handicapping watchdog for us. They're the ones that grade our picks and that we post all of our picks on. At 61 units gained over the last 2 weeks in the NFL only, that would have put us in, we would have been the 10th overall rated handicapper on CapperTech with a 61 unit 2 week run. Turn on investment would have gone up as well. So we would have been definitely in top 10, maybe top 5 even for that. So, there's a lot that we want to gauge, by what we're looking at. So, this is something that we're going to take a shot with. I don't think it's too soon. I feel good about where we are, but I'm also not going to get discouraged if we have one bad week here right after jumping them up. So, that is going to be the new thing that we are doing. For those of you who get our plays daily, weekly, that you're going to see that improvement there, or that increase. I'm also going to put that out. Now, we're only going to do this for NFL. I'm not feeling very confident where our college football numbers have been this year. We have made a few adjustments here and there to pick better. That's really what it comes down to. But we've made some adjustments with our college football stuff. We're going to see how that goes for a couple of weeks and then see if we want to jump it up after that. Right now, though, where we are at with our current ranking over the last 2 weeks, we're in 34th place overall in CapperTech. That's not bad. When you look at how many hundreds of handicappers are out here putting up plays, if we go by return on investment, see where are we at for that. We're actually at 41. We're moved down a little bit. So, a little disappointing with that. But, that's what happens when you lose a five-unit play like we did this week with the Cardinals. So cleaning that up, and hopefully going forward, we continue to climb that ladder. So, this week, we've got a couple of plays for you guys, and if you are interested in getting the rest of our card for this week, we are doing a free weekend for anyone who sends us an email that says, send me free plays. So if you want our entire college football in NFL play sent to your inbox, sent to your, you know, I can text them to you. We can do whatever we need to do to get them to you. Not whatever, but we've got a few options. Send me an email, thespread@coverthatspread.com. I'll get you guys hooked up for this weekend free. And then if you guys are interested in going forward with us, you know, we'll work out pricing, we'll work out packages. You know, if you only want NFL, that's fine. We have only NFL offerings. We have only college offerings. Whatever you guys want to do, I am here to hook you up. So we've got week four in the NFL. We have not seen the super contest lines, but judging by what is out there right now, let's kick this off with Thursday night's game. And this is a interesting matchup right now because the Andrew Luck, last time I checked, which was probably like about an hour ago, Andrew Luck was still undecided in this game. I'm guessing it has been announced that he is not playing only because I see the Colts are 1.5-point underdogs. So I'm guessing Luck is out for this game. I will check that out after the show and confirm just because I am running low on time right now. But that's an interesting matchup of the Colts without Luck on the road on a short week against a division rival. I don't know if I'm ready to trust Houston yet. I don't think they're a very good team. But let's see what our numbers point to, because it may be time to start trusting them, especially given the circumstances here. Looks like we've got a slight advantage for Houston on one of our matrix, and we have a slight advantage for, looks like we've got a slight advantage for Indianapolis still, even with the injury. I'll probably have to adjust that injury number a little bit. Right now it looks like I would be leaning on Houston -1.5. You're basically picking them to win at that point. But I could get on board with Houston right now. So I'm not ready to make that one official. The under looks very intriguing in this one. I know that some of these games between these teams have gotten high. They've gotten, you know, pretty out of hand. 44.5 seems really high for essentially two backup quarterbacks going at it here. We know the Colts defense has not been very good. The Texans secondary has not been very good. I don't trust Matt Hasselbeck to be able to find any of his receivers. I don't realistically trust the Texans offense to get things going here. I know they did have a nice comeback after both the week one game against Kansas City had pretty much been decided. They had a nice little 21-point outburst after they gave up 42 points in Atlanta this last weekend. So I'm not ready to trust the Texans outside of garbage time. I will be probably going with the under on this one. I think that is the best play. But again, if you guys want that one, send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com, and I will get you hooked up with Thursday night's games as well. Now, moving on to Sunday, we've got one of the first games here is the Jaguars versus the Buccaneers. The Battle of Florida, as I like to call it. This one is a free play. We've officially locked this one in. We are going Jaguars +3.5. Make sure you buy that half point. The Buccaneers, just not, I'm not really confident in them. Now, this game, I don't think a whole lot should be thrown on this one because you do have two bad teams that there was a little bit of excitement about both of them. Very little excitement. Let's not kid ourselves here. Very little excitement about both of these teams. But when you look at the young nucleus for the Jaguars, I really like T.J. Yeldon. Blake Bortles I could get on board with if he had some better receivers. And it also, we need to check some injury reports to see if Julius Thomas is going to be back, because that could be a big guy that could bust this Tampa Bay Buccaneers cover two defense. Now the Bucs, we know they have Jameis Winston. We know they have the big receivers, having a lot of trouble with their offensive line, having a lot of trouble with their secondary. This game could get fun. This game could get ugly. I think this could be kind of an entertaining game to watch. I will not be doing it, most likely, but it could be an entertaining game to watch. So right now, we do like Jacksonville. Like I said, If you're taking them at plus three, make sure you buy that half point, because this game could very well come down to a field goal one way or the other. We also have Cleveland going into Baltimore. We've seen the Browns have a real up and down first four games here. After looking terrible week one, Johnny Manziel breathed some life into that team week two, and they upset the Titans. Then week three, they were at home against the Raiders and had a really bad game there in the return of Josh McCown. Week four looked a little better. They were on the road in San Diego. Now, my concern here, back-to-back, second of back-to-back road games, typically from what I can tell, from how I view these games, your best road game, if you're playing back-to-back, is going to be that first one. That second one, you're kind of over the whole travel thing. Maybe you just get caught in a bad week. But for whatever reason, it tends to be that first of a back-to-back road matchup is the best one. So we saw them cover last week, plus 8.5. This week they're only plus 6.5, playing against a Baltimore team that had 10 days rest. Don't discount how important 10 days rest is. It gets you game planning a few days earlier, and then it gets you kind of that extra day or two of practice in between games. So, I really like Cleveland. I don't like where this line is. This line's right at 6.5 right now. I think Cleveland can cover that. But if I'm going to be taking Cleveland, I want to see this at 7.5, maybe even up to 8. But I think I'm happy at 7 buying up to 7.5. So we will see if it goes there. It does look like there's a little bit of a lean towards the Ravens right now. So this could very well move. Also could be a good one to get in on a 6-point tease right now and take Baltimore. You can buy it down to half a point if you tease it with something else. And then if this line does continue to move up, then maybe you take Cleveland at plus 7, and now you've got both sides of the spectrum. You've got a plus 7, plus 7.5. You've got Baltimore basically to win. And that's not a bad spread that you could have and easily hit both of them. Or maybe even you tease Cleveland the other way when it gets to 7 and you tease it up to 13. Now you have a 13-point spread that you can fit things in between. Now, we've also have a game, Washington goes to Atlanta. The Redskins have played pretty well so far this year. They have played good defense, surprisingly good defense, I should say. And when I saw this game early in the season, I thought that this was definitely an over because neither of these teams could play defense. The Falcons have been coming alive, especially at home. They're playing some decent defense. Redskins, we're going to see how well road tested they are, but they are coming off of a pretty impressive divisional win last week. Given it was at home, when we saw them week two on the road, it was a short week, and they didn't look great against the Giants, but that may be something true right here, that we know the Falcons' offense is kind of similar. When you look at the makeup of the two teams, the Falcons and the Giants, I would say that with their quarterbacks, with their receivers, kind of similar in how they approach things. That could make this for a long day for the Washington secondary. I would buy this one down to 6.5 and jump on Atlanta as soon as you can. Finally, let's take a look at the Monday night game, Steelers at Chargers. Steelers are on 11 days rest here, so we know that Mike Vick almost pulled that game out. We know that in a lot of ways, he did enough to win, and it was a field goal kicker who did enough to lose. Chargers barely held on to beat Cleveland at home last week. Now, with the Chargers here, you know, they get the extra day rest because of Monday night. I'm not a fan of the Chargers. I think Pittsburgh's defense is kind of coming around, and they're getting better week by week. This is a game I really like the Steelers. I think that plus 3 is good. I think we might be able to get this at plus 3.5 without having to buy the half point because it looks like there is a little bit of a push on the Chargers. Now, one thing to watch, and this is where you have to understand line movements and you have to understand how things work for the sports books. Right now, San Diego is -3, but you're seeing it at -120. So what does that mean? There is that ceiling and a floor. And once they've taken too much money on -3, they're going to bump it to -3.5. And then they take too much, they're going to bump it up to 4. Sometimes you will see that line be -20 for a long time, even though there does appear to be more money coming down on San Diego. That's because they don't want to give you Pittsburgh at +3.5 without having to buy that half point, because they know that someone's probably going to swoop in and take a big hit on them. That's what I'm kind of watching in this one. I liked Pittsburgh. I was surprised Pittsburgh was that big of underdogs. I thought this would be closer to like 1.5, maybe 2. It is at 3. So just kind of interesting that they put it there, and it doesn't seem to be moving. We'll see in a day or two if it does, but I am leaning on Pittsburgh +3. Again, if you want to get all of our official plays this weekend, come on and send me an email, the spread at coverthatspread.com, and I will get this weekend's NFL, MLB, and college football plays sent to you directly. Now, speaking of college football, let's take a look at this one real quick. We had an okay weekend last weekend. We lost some units, felt good about a lot of our plays, and a couple of the overs just kind of seemed to have lost steam in the second half. So not too happy the way that all played out. But we've got a couple games this week that we are enjoying capping. So first one, Rice and Florida Atlantic. We're seeing Rice with some really good we're seeing Rice with some really bad S&P numbers, according to footballoutsiders.com. Florida Atlantic has a pretty good defense. And I don't know if I like betting on a team because their defense has shown up. But, you know, this line seems like it's in a good spot. It's at 3.5 right now. Let's actually see if that has moved at all. Let's see here, Florida Atlantic. It's at 3.5 still. Actually, looks like Rice could be moving this one down a little bit. So keep an eye on that one. I do like Florida Atlantic. They're at home, and I think that this is maybe a real good spot for them. I don't think Rice's offense is overpowering by any means, but I do know Rice's defense is bad. It's ranked 126 in the nation. So I'm going to fade a bad defense on the road, especially when I'm only giving up 3.5 points. So Florida Atlantic -3.5 is the way I will be going. Louisiana Monroe Tulsa. And the Louisiana schools the little mid-major Louisiana schools, not LSU, they're doing just fine. But some of these, the mid-major, the Lafayettes, the Louisiana Tech, Louisiana Monroe, Louisiana Tech's doing okay this year with Driscoll at quarterback, but not really having a whole lot of this Louisiana Monroe team, which I think has had some value the last couple of years. We're seeing Tulsa with the 6th-ranked offense, according to the S&P values on footballoutsiders.com. We see Louisiana Monroe with the 123rd-ranked S&P value for offense. I am willing to say that Tulsa will outscore UL Monroe by more than 10 points. So we're going to be jumping on this one. It's a 4-unit play for us. Tulsa -9. I would get on that one. It does not look like there's a whole lot of action one way or the other on it, but Tulsa's offense at home is just too much for UL Monroe to handle. An over that I'm toying around with, it's really too high for my wheelhouse. But I like over 72 points for Texas State at UL Lafayette. This game could get – this is the fun game to watch. This is a fun mid-major game to watch Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to watch that one, if you want to just have fun betting and put a couple of units down on the over, I think that there's a very good shot that they get there. Louisiana Tech goes to University of Texas San Antonio, where they are 11.5-point favorites. This line actually, I think, has moved a little bit. Let me see what I wrote down earlier this week. Louisiana Tech was minus 12. We're seeing it at minus 11.5 now. Like I said, with the former Florida quarterback taking over Louisiana Tech, they're putting up points. I don't think UTSA can keep up with them. So that's why we went in on Louisiana Tech here. I would go on there as well if I were you guys. So you can get that now. Louisiana Tech minus 11.5. Maybe you want to wait till game day to see if this one drops a little more. But I have a feeling as long as you get this one under 14, you're going to be in good shape. And finally, the big game in the SEC this week. I don't know if it's the biggest, but a big game in the SEC this week. Florida at Missouri. Florida comes in after their big wins, or the big win last week, again, at home against Ole Miss. Missouri is kind of just, I don't know what to make of them. There's a lot of these SEC teams that come to play one week and they don't come to play another week. Florida was 4.5-point favorites. They're now 5-point favorites. I am all over Florida in this game. So because it is the SEC, because we know that all the teams are kind of equal and a team will go on a run and look really good for a few weeks and then fall flat on their face, especially as a road favorite it tends to be. I'm not going in real big on Florida, but I do like Florida to win this and cover 5 points. We got in at 4.5. You know, the Matty Mock thing, you can say a lot about Missouri's quarterback situation. Point is, Mock was the better quarterback at the beginning of the season. And regardless of how things went down, why he was suspended, you know, Florida's defense is pretty good. And they're going to continue to be pretty good this week. So I look for Florida to really have a shot to make this one ugly early. So Florida minus 5. Like I said, I'm only doing three units on it, but feel free to go a little higher if you want. All right, guys, that is going to wrap up our week 5 NFL, week 6 college football of the spread. If you want to get plays, send me an email, thespread@coverthatspread.com, and I will hook you guys up with a free weekend this October. So for the Red Light Sports Network and Cover That Spread, I am JA. Good luck betting this weekend, and may the spread be forever in your favor. Take care, guys.